All right. Well, no rest for the weary, right? All right, let me get started here. Today, of course, is our wrap-up of our Faith Promise Mission Day, of our mission emphasis. We do a mission emphasis usually 3 to 4 weeks long. Some years five, some years three. Just depends on our speakers, what we can all get lined up. But it's been a blessing. It really has been a blessing. The first week we had our very own, trained here, Brother Stephen Giordano, and got to meet his blushing bride, you know, Laura, and we're thankful for that, and thankful for Amy, his prior wife, that of course passed away of a horrible case of cancer. Then of course Brother Roland Bork, our redneck buddy from Oklahoma, Tulsa area, and did a fine job. And then of course last week Brother Keith, the banker, I think of him as the banker. They were in banking. Pay your bills, makes you remind be a good steward. And then, of course, you get me today. So we have just come through, of course, May Day. That honorable communist socialist day. And I want you to know it has my enthusiastic support just about as much as the All Hallows Eve, Halloween. Well, I jest, of course, and but something I am passionate about is the work of Almighty God. Now, I get excited about that. And that has my 100% support for world missions. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Commander-in-Chief. Jesus is our Savior. And Jesus is our Commander-in-Chief. And He's our soon-coming King. And He has commissioned His church and thus His churches to reproduce themselves at the commands that He has shared with us in the Holy Word. Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. Now this world is where people reside. We reside here. If we end up on Mars, it's not because God ordained that we would be there. Earth was ordained for people. Now it's where human beings live, and it was made for humans. You're made for this atmosphere. You don't have to have anything special to stay here and live here and enjoy God's good creation. It's where people reside. The Artemis II crew, Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Couch, I think it's pronounced Couch, and Jeremy Hansen, as it's been written, successfully completed a historic 10-day lunar flyby. I see the moon. April this 2026. And they're the first in human history to do a loop around the moon and travel as far as they did. Now get this, 250,756 miles. Now I've taken many a trip in my day, but none that far. None that far. I found it interesting. Excuse me, Officer Reed, when asked, what do you think about all this? What do you think about all this? This is what he said. Of all the things he could have said, he said this. It's good to be home. It's good to be home. Another member said of Earth, looking back. Everybody wants to go to the moon. They go to the moon. They look back at the Earth. Look back on the Earth. And this is what she said. Magnificent. Magnificent. Earth is home. Earth is home. And when many astronauts have gone off into space, they have looked back to see this special place called Earth. Created by the mighty power of God and His spoken word. And they marvel. They marvel at the uniqueness and the razor-thin edge of the divine design at the mighty hand of God. And they're blown away. They're absolutely blown away with the magnificence of the Creator who could do something like that. There have been a number of astronauts who have gone off in outer space, even as unbelievers, but yet return, having seen the great handiwork of Almighty God. They've returned as believers in the Lord our God. Take your Bible to Mark chapter 16, if you would, please. Now, nothing in this world has been as significant to mankind than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one did more and had a greater impact on humanity the world over than Jesus Christ. And nothing has been more significant in relation to Jesus Christ than the supernatural resurrection of Jesus Christ. It just blows everything away. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important for several reasons, as has been shared before. Number one, the resurrection witnesses the immense power of God Himself. If He has such power, He's worthy of our praise, He's worthy of our worship, and He's worthy of our aid to His holy endeavor. The Bible says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself, lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." God has power. Jesus has power. The resurrection is important also because, number two, it validates Jesus' claim who He claimed to be, namely the Son of God and the Messiah. According to our Lord, His resurrection was a sign from heaven which authenticated His ministry. In Matthew 16, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." The resurrection, of course, the Lord was attested to by many, many different eyewitnesses. In 1 Corinthians 15, you can read about that. But it provides human witnesses that would stand up in any court of the land and be a slam dunk case that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Number three, another reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the reason it's important, is that it proves His sinless character and His divine nature. The Scripture tells us that God's Holy One would never see corruption. His body would not rot in the grave. He would not see corruption. In Psalm 16:10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." It's also spoken of again in Acts chapter 13. Number four, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ not only validates His deity, but it also validates the Old Testament prophecies that foretold of the Lord's suffering and His death and His resurrection. In Acts 17, 2 and 3, "And Paul, as the manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Well, what Scriptures were those? That's the Old Testament. He reasoned with them out of the Old Testament of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, including the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not resurrected, then we'd have no hope. We'd have no hope. In fact, apart from the Lord's resurrection, we have no Savior, no salvation, no eternal life. And Paul writes about this, and he said to the Lord, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Number five, Jesus Himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 11, 20, 25. And that statement claims to be, He claims to be the source of both, the resurrection source and the source, of course, of life. Revelation 1:18, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." 1 John 5:11, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life." That's the believer. "And this life is in His Son." You get Jesus, you get Jesus, you get His salvation. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, we who believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to personally experience resurrection because we have that life, that resurrection that Christ gives. And we will, by His power, overcome death. It's impossible for death to win. Death is swallowed up in victory. Number six, Jesus, the Bible says, is the first fruits of them which slept. In other words, which have temporarily passed. Okay, they have slept, as the Bible puts it in 1 Corinthians 15:20. "And now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." He's the first fruits. In other words, Jesus led the way. He led the way after death into life. And Christ leads us all along the way. All the way my Savior leads me, right? All the way the Savior leads me. All for the same. Now, unlike other religions, the founder of Christianity has transcended death and promises His followers to do the same for them. That death will not be the final call for them. Every other religion was founded by someone who ended up in the grave and stayed there. But not our Lord. Not Christianity. Now, the Word of God guarantees the believer's bodily resurrection at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. and the church triumphant at the rapture. Hosea 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Does the grave have power? Yes, but not more power than God. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. How about that? You've heard it this way. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And number 7, the fact and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ has a direct impact on our service today. A direct impact. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul ends his discourse on the resurrection with these words in 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then this, listen, therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? In the work of the Lord. There's a work to do. In the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the scared believers, who are they? Well, pretty much everybody. The scared believers, after seeing the resurrected Lord, took stock of their faith and turned the world upside down. Whereas they were scared, they became so bold in the faith, it was unreal and would stump the scholars of that day. How in the world? Well, we know how in the world. They saw the resurrected Lord. You know, we can endure a lot, persecution, even danger, even death, threat of death on our life. Why? Because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can endure that, and many of those did in years ago, and even martyred for the faith. The dead in Christ will be raised up, and those who are alive at that time will join them and receive glorified bodies. We hear this all the time at funerals in 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. We're not making it up. It comes straight from God. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those who have already passed, their bodies. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Can you hear? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I don't know what it's going to sound like that. Probably a whole lot better. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those words are sweet, man. They are sweet. They have comforted many a soul. So why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? It proves who Jesus is. It demonstrates that God accepted the Lord's sacrifice on our behalf. It shows that God has the power to raise us even from the dead. And it guarantees that the bodies of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not remain in the grave. But a new body, one likened to the Lord, a new body will come up out of that grave. Up from the grave we will arose. As the little kids say, be resurrected to eternal life. Now I ask you, what has anybody got better than that? Can you offer me anyone? Can you offer me anything? Any philosophy? Any political system? Can you offer me anything that is better than that? No, you can't. I pretty much challenged some JWs one time with the same thing. They come around, you know, trying to peddle their thing. And I just took after them about what all Jesus has done for me. And I said, what have you got better than that? Nothing. I said, get out of my house, dust your feet, and get off my property. Amen. I don't bid them farewell, you know, bid you Godspeed. God bless you. No, they're peddling disaster. Now, you're already in Mark chapter 16. Let's pick up there. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now, they're expecting the dead, right? That's all for the dead. And early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, well, he's dead. Who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. You like that? I was affrighted this morning. Cindy about scared me out of my skin. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Jesus, ye seek Jesus, the Nazarene, Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now I'm here to tell you today that if Jesus Christ would not have been raised from the dead, you wouldn't even know his name. We did not know his name, but we do know his name. Why? There's power in that name because of all that he has done. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Now some people say, well, why did he say tell his disciples and Peter? Well, Peter is a little bit more hard-headed than the rest of them. That's what I think. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were what? They were afraid. They're scared. They're scared. It's like Clayton the other day. You know, he was scared with me. I'm scared. He's hugging my leg. I'm scared. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared, and that's verse 9, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she wept and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. Now, they're not mourning and weeping for somebody living, they're mourning and weeping for somebody they still thought was dead. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what? Can you believe these next two words? They believed not. Talking about knuckleheads. And after he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, to the disciples. Neither believed they them. Man, what's the matter with you guys, right? Second witness that Christ was alive from the Lord himself. Proving this, as he said, yet, the Bible says, they believed not. They were still down at the mouth. They didn't believe. Look at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So we have the witness of the angel, right, in the tomb, the witness of the angel, then later, of course, Mary, then two others, and they went, and they all, these last two, they were spoken of and seen directly by the Lord Jesus Christ, and witnessed that we have seen him resurrected in a resurrected body. We've seen him. He's alive. And yet, they didn't believe. Huh. Now he's appearing unto them personally. And then, to top all that off, Thomas says, I want to read you. I wasn't here. Is that not so? Okay, a little bit of help in there, but you know. Verse 15. And he said unto them, these same people, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wait a minute. Don't you think you can find some better men? Lord, don't you think you can find some better men who will actually believe trustworthy people? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I want to cut through this outline here pretty quick. But don't you see, first of all, God chose to announce to the world that Jesus is alive through hard-headed men. Didn't I just prove that? He chose to announce to the world, to preach the gospel to the world. Through who? Hard-headed men. Thick skulled. Knuckleheads. Now sometimes we think it had to be the best of the best, the absolute perfect, that he would send out and commission. But not so. God rather chose hard-headed people that had to see it and see it and hear it and hear it to even believe it, to proclaim that he lives. Number two, God chose to announce to the world that Jesus is alive through hard-headed men whom he rebuked. He got all over them. He got in their grits. And my granny would say, he rebuked them, and they received his rebuke. That's more important. They received his rebuke. Look at verse 14. After he appeared unto the 11, and as they sat at meat, they were eating, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. You did not believe the credible witnesses that you know not to be liars. You know them to be truth tellers. And yet, you didn't believe him. He's getting after them. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, it seems to me far too many Christian men live as if they really do not believe in the resurrected Lord. It's, you know, they kind of do, but they mostly don't. You know what I'm saying? They kind of just kind of go through life as, well, really, it's not going to impact my life that much. Listen, it impacts your life all the much. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask you not to continue your life as if the resurrection never happened. But live as if every day you've seen it happen. By faith, you've seen it and you believe it. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I said, is there not a cause? And it's the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wise men receive correction, right? We whip our children. I was whooped. But we whip our children and we hope that they will receive the rebuke. We hope they will receive the instruction, right? That's our goal. That's our aim. Well, God's no different with us. If he has to spank us, if he has to get on to us, he hopes and prays that we will be wise. And we would receive the rebuke. Receive the correction. Proverbs 9:8 says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. How about that? A wise child will love you because you teach them, you correct them. Verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. He learns from the discipline. He learns from the chastening of the Lord and becomes even wiser than he was. Number 3, I'm cooking along today. God chose to use these same men to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you start to think about it, you said, man alive, you know, couldn't he find somebody else in the Rolodex? Now, that's a dated thing I know today, but I still call it a Rolodex. He said, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 28, he came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. John 20:21, shouldn't leave that one out. He said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And if you're saved, you're one of the you. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The world. The world. For God so loved the world. Now we can only accomplish this commission through world missions. Not just the local church, but the world movement of missions. The cause of God. God's plan for this age. Number 4. God used these same men to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want you to know, these were hard-headed men. And though they got saved, they still had a problem with some people, mostly us Gentiles. They still had some hang-ups. Well, that's pretty human, isn't it? We still have hang-ups. We kind of still want to find in our theology, any, many, mighty, mo, you to heaven and hell you go. Instead of for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. They were given the command to go to every creature. Number 5, it was the gospel of Jesus Christ that they were commanded to preach. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, by the way, is the good news of Jesus. It's good news. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The wonderful passage of Luke chapter 2, which we run through all the time at Christmas time. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, who's the people? You're a people. People, people, people. You're people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Number six. This same gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, includes a proper relationship with the Lord's church. A proper relationship with the Lord's church. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, belief in Christ as our Savior stands alone for salvation, and that's the testament of the Scripture. And we also testify that water baptism, of course, was and is a declarative statement, and it's a picture of the gospel that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sort of like a silent sermon that a believer, a new born again believer, proclaims by their submission to the ordinance of the New Testament church, that I believe in Jesus. I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I believe He lived, I believe He died for my sins, and I believe on the third day He rose again. And that's my testimony unto all the world. Unto all the world. Peter is preaching at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And I'm glad to tell you, a good number did. Then they that gladly received his word. What word? Just go back in the text, you'll see. It's a gospel message that he had preached to them, challenging them. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Number seven, I had to end on the number of perfection. Number seven. What we are then left with is the sober fact of decisions that we have to make. It's like old Joshua, choose you this day. You've got to choose. Through my life, I have had many times I have desired that I could make that decision for others. But it's impossible. A mom and daddy, a loving grandmother, cannot make that decision for anybody else but themselves. Salvation is an individual matter. We must put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We must be born again. It's a sober decision. It's going to affect our life. It's going to affect our time, our talents, and our treasures. It all starts with our own church. It's our home base. It's our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. This is not our Judea. This is not our Samaria. This is our Jerusalem. This is not our uttermost part of the earth. This is our Jerusalem. But it starts with the home base. And for years, I will tell you, for years, many of our churches, sister churches and churches I was a part of, gave so much attention to foreign missions, but no attention almost to mission work right here in the United States. If you just look at the radius, mile radius of the Great Commission that the Lord gave, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, I believe standing on the mountaintop there in Jerusalem, you could see Samaria on a clear day. I know you can see Judea. It's right there. It's right there. It's right yonder. It's easy to see. A blind man can see that. And then the uttermost. Well, the Lord has given us a commission to do that. Well, how in the world can we do that living here? We do that by financing and authorizing preachers to go over yonder, go down yonder, to go over there, and go over there, and go over there, and go over there, and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere do we find a commissioning to go out and do this, that, and the other. We do find the commission to go out and preach the gospel and to start New Testament churches. New Testament churches around the world. We are not to hoard the truth. Could I be so frank to tell you? God has wonderfully blessed the United States. And even the system of finance that was embraced by the United States. Now listen to me now. that system of finance. We're talking about free enterprise. The ability for somebody to do something about being broke all the time has enabled Christians, churches in America, down through our history, to do more for missions than all others put together. Don't tell me the two are not connected. I'm not buying it. May Day or not, I'm not buying it. No, sir. No, sir. More has been done for world missions out of this country than any other. Israel, yes, embraced the oracles of God. They received the word of God. And they went out. But they didn't go out so good. They went out first about 100 miles, and that's about as far as they wanted to go. And it took persecution to scatter them even further than that. Along come a people, our forefathers, and our great-grandpappies and grandmamas. And they took God's word serious. Your forefathers, my forefathers, took God's word serious. And when a preacher got in their grits and said, "Thus saith the Lord," they were confronted with God's eternal word. And they thought, "Mama, what are we going to do about this?" And Mama said, "I think we need to make some changes. Because let me tell you, Henry, you can be pretty hard-headed." And Henry says, "Well, I'd be a pretty good company. Because what I see right here, God loves to use hard-headed men to do His work." Amen! So is there hope for me? Oh yes, there's hope for me. Is there hope for you? Oh yes. But you have to make the decision. I can't make it for you. I cannot bend your arm behind your back far enough to make you cry uncle and say, "I'll do it. I'll be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. I'll be a part of the solution. I'll be a part of fulfilling the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ until the day I die. I want to be part of that church. I want to be part of that." Well, that's the challenge to you. The question is are you going to become wiser having received that correction? Or are you going to remain hard-headed? Lock your heels, my mother would say. Lock your heels. "I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it." That's your prerogative. If you want to miss out on the blessings of God, you just go right ahead. But I'd encourage you, check that hard head at the door and say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." What's it going to take? Give time? Yeah. Talents? Yeah. Treasures? Yeah, a little bit. And God can take your little bit and my little bit, and He masters at doing much with it. If you just trust Him. And if you haven't up to this date, I pray today is a new day with no mistakes in it. Let's stand for prayer.